One thing that I also want to point out is the claimant has to affirmatively plead in or out of Rule 169. So there needs to be language in the petition where the claimant specifies that the relief being sought is not in excess of $100,000. Absent that, then it's not going to be automatically pushed into this expedited trial process. Now, there's a big question of how you get out of Rule 169, because perhaps you don't like all the limitations on discovery, experts, ADR, things of that nature. There are two ways that a case gets out of Rule 169. The first way is by motion of any party to the case. A party to the case can file a motion asking to remove the case from the expedited trial process, and the court will remove it upon a showing of good cause. The factors that the trial court considers to see whether good cause is met is whether the total damages sought by all the claimants against one party exceeds $100,000, whether there's a compulsory counterclaim that was brought by a defendant in good faith, and that exceeds relief outside of the $100,000 limit. And they also consider the number of witnesses and parties to the case, whether there are any particularly complex factual and legal issues, and the need for an interpreter. Those are the factors that the court considers. There's a recent case from the Court of Appeals in Amarillo from 2018, which is in Re State Farm Mutual Auto Insurance Company. And in that case, the insurance carrier was trying to get the case removed out of this expedited trial process. The insurance carrier argued that the plaintiff had a very complex medical history. This is related to an auto accident. A lot of medical conditions that were not related to the claim itself, that multiple depositions had to be taken. And the appellate court denied mandamus relief and said that the rule requires that someone trying to get out of this process really specifically identify why these issues are so complex. And in a footnote, the appellate court said the fact that the plaintiff needs to be deposed, the plaintiff's medical expert needs to be deposed, the plaintiff's treating physician and a corporate rep need to be deposed, that's typical to the type of case contemplated by Rule 169.
And I would just kind of to add to that, as a trial judge, when I sort of start to see these issues being litigated, the biggest things that I see in motion practice are parties trying to get out of 169, and whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing. And it's not always sort of a reactive, you know, a defense motion to remove it based on the plaintiff's claim. Sometimes the plaintiffs decide, rather than amending their pleadings, they want to have more discovery or more lengthy discovery. And I look at them both similarly, but I do think it is strategic often, and I agree with the Amarillo Court of Appeals in that just saying you have discovery to conduct is not a good enough reason to get out of 169. 169 contemplates limited discovery, and usually on cases where there's, you know, the aggregate monetary damage sought does not exceed $100,000, you're not going to have extensive discovery. One, because if you're getting attorney's fees under 169 on some of your claims, that can't exceed $100,000 either. The judgment cannot exceed $100,000. So the parties have to contemplate limiting their discovery. So when I see sort of these offensive motions to remove it from 169, my kind of red flags go up, and I see, is a party just trying to delay? Because it's not, usually they're saying, well, we need more discovery, but really what they're trying to get out of is what's going to come up next are the deadlines of when these cases have to get to trial and how much discretion a trial court has to continue cases, because really that's the issue that I see coming up the most. So while I will grant them sometimes upon an actual showing of good cause is not just, well, we don't have time to get all this discovery done in this limited period of time.
I think that that's very helpful, and I think it's instructive for people that are practicing, because it is a good word of caution that on an auto accident claim, you know, whether you're seeking coverage or a UIM policy or not, but on a typical auto accident claim, the mere fact that you're going to depose an expert, a treating physician, a party. That's not enough, because I think that these claims were exactly the type that were contemplated by Rule 169 and, frankly, by our legislature, because if the end result is a judgment that's $100,000 or less, there's really no reason why the case shouldn't be within this expedited process. The other way to have the litigants be out of this Rule 169 process is by pleading. So the claimant could file a pleading, an amended pleading, or a supplemental pleading, and if in that pleading they seek relief outside of the limits of 169, then the court must remove the case from the expedited actions process. But there are two things to consider. You have to consider whether you are filing this pleading with or without leave. The claimant can, without leave from the court, file the amended or supplemental pleading to be removed from the expedited process no later than 30 days after the close of discovery, or at least 30 days before trial, whichever is earlier. So those are your limits for, without leave, simply filing an amended pleading to remove yourself from this process. If you do not qualify because of the time constraints, you do have to seek leave from the court. And that, again, requires filing a motion and a showing of good cause as to why you should be allowed to file this pleading, which would remove the case from the 169 process. When that happens, should the court grant your motion and grant the filing of an amended pleading, or should the case otherwise be removed from the Rule 169 process, then the court reopens discovery and there's a new order in place, a new docket control order, where discovery will be governed by either level 2 or 3.